What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Playoff races, the scoring race, the NHL. Time is winding down. Game 82 is going to be played for all these teams very soon, and we'll finally know who will be the eight teams in the East, eight teams in the West. I'm exhausted. They're exhausted. Let's get to the postseason, but it's going to be fun getting to that point. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash, brought to you by Damon Barber Canada. Go to damonbarber.ca and log on and enter the code Pucks in Seven and the number seven, not written out, S-E-V-E-N, for your chance to get 25% off all their fantastic products. Again, damonbarber.ca, enter the code Pucks in Seven. We will get to the West. We'll talk Dallas, we'll talk Winnipeg, we'll talk Edmonton, Minnesota. We have to talk San Jose? Fine. All right. It's going to be a negative with them, even though we're positive. Let's begin in the East. Kind of in the East also, but we're going to encompass both conferences because this scoring race, Victoria, is unbelievable. Guys, McDavid and McKinnon and Kucherov, they have 8, 9, 10, 7 games left to go, and they're all within so many points of each other. They're tied. This to me, I was trying to go back in time and look back when we've seen something like this recently. I can't recall. I know last year we didn't. McDavid ran away with it with 153. But this, it's almost like on a nightly, daily basis. Hey, if McKinnon did something, Kucherov does something. If McDavid did something, then the two of them. This is so fun.
It has been one of the more entertaining storylines of this season for sure, and especially in the waning months. There's only one point now separating the three of them. You've got McKinnon with 127 points, yep. Kucherov with 127 as well, and then McDavid, who's played fewer games, but that doesn't come into play now. He's played fewer games so far. He has 126. To say that this is anybody's contest is understating matters massively.
Oh, of course.
Because
of course.
This could change, and it has changed day to day. What I find very interesting of late, and you know, I know it's completely coincidental, because mm-hmm. it's not like these guys are watching the score sheet from other games when they're in action and go, well, Kucherov scored two, and McKinnon's like, I better get a couple as well. Of course not. But it seems like it's almost happened that way.
Yeah.
It's like on a Saturday night when one of them erupts for 4 points, the other two will get three or four. The other night, they each got a single point in games that their respective teams lost. Mm-hmm. So it's just been interesting how much they've mimicked each other, especially of late. But this is going to be it doesn't even matter if you're rooting for any of these teams. Down the stretch, watching what those three do and who, and I hope it goes down. I hope it comes down to the final night, especially if a whole lot else is sorted out in terms of playoff races, which it mm-hmm. could very well be. It'll mm-hmm. be a reason to watch who's gonna grasp it. And then also making the argument for the heart as well, because it's going to be one of those guys. Never mind the points. Right?
It is. So. I'm still leaning McKinnon. I'm still leaning McKinnon. I know a lot of people maybe say Kucherov because of the discrepancy between mm-hmm. him and Braden Point, the amount of, but that's totally fine. Great argument, totally fine. But McDavid, what if he ends up winning the Art Ross? Is that now a shoe-in? Is he going to take over?
I would still say the same. I think with Leon Draisaitl, the Oilers would have an excellent chance to still be in a postseason position. And I don't think there's any way the Lightning are in a postseason position without Kucherov. That, to me, is the most valuable player. But we'll see. If for some reason McKinnon pulls ahead by 8-9 points over the other two.
Which is doable.
Which is very doable.
It's McKinnon. Do you know that since Knobloch took over as coach of Edmonton, in the 59 games, McDavid has 115 points, 1.94 points per game. That's unbelievable. Anyway, just quickly, you talked about the teams or the games remaining. McDavid, Edmonton, they have 9 games to go. One more than Tampa, 2 more than Colorado. Edmonton is 2 games against Arizona, 1 against the San Jose terrible team that they're still playing Sharks. So I don't know. 5 of Colorado's last 7, by the way, are against teams currently in a playoff spot. So I'm just saying, put all those factors into play. Not that it stopped McKinnon before, but
now, do you find it matters really though? Because I've just noticed recently, Colorado lost to Columbus again the other night.
Yeah,
and you would have thought that McKinnon would have, you know, beat the snot out of Columbus and filled the net. He got 1 point in that game.
Yeah.
So, and then he'll go and play a Vegas and score and register four. I just wonder, I write about strength of schedule all the time for my fantasy work at ESPN.com. And I've just noticed it often matters over stretches, but individual games, you look at Colorado and Columbus the other day, that should have been a blowout and they lost and they didn't score much either. So it's very interesting when you just talk about strength of schedule, especially this time of year when the lousy teams are looser. Right? Yeah. Look at what Ottawa's doing right now. Yeah. Up until last night, they couldn't lose. So it's just, it's interesting.
And Montreal beat Florida last night too, right? Mm-hmm. Just saying, just whatever. And that's a key in the Atlantic race. Anyway, going to be a lot of fun. Okay, let's look at these teams in that wild card race. This thing's going to come down to the end, down to the wire as well, which is great. So you got the Capitals, the Red Wings, and the Flyers. All separated by what? The Caps with 82, the Wings with 82, Philly, they have 83. Man, you know, every time I look at that Metro division, Philly's been there since the get-go. They've been there since day one. They've been in the top three. I don't know how they're still holding on to this thing. Two wins in the last 10. Washington is six in the last 10. Detroit kind of even 4-4-2 in the last 10. I will not be surprised if the Flyers at some point dip. And you know what, Vic? I'm just going to say this. Based on just a gut feeling says Philly is not going to make the postseason this year.
It's starting to feel that way for sure.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you're watching John Tortorella pretty much every single night now losing his mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's not necessarily out of order. It's not the way that I would express myself or other people express themselves, but he's not completely wrong about how some of his skaters are competing right now. They just got Ivan Fedotov from the KHL, who played a pretty good game against the Islanders the other night, but that was an act of desperation as well to fill the net with somebody because they have absolutely zero faith in who they have at the moment. They're not winning hockey games. The only reason they're still in that playoff spot is the failure of one of the teams chasing them to completely take it over. Detroit's been a 500 hockey club. Washington was bad, better now, but they've had a hill to climb here. So it's the fact that nobody else has run with it yet. They're still in that spot. Ryan, I am 100% with you. I don't think they're there. I really don't. Not the way they're trending right now. Not the way the players aren't responding to their coach.
No.
They aren't playing particularly well. Torts isn't completely wrong, as I just mentioned. In fact, this is what he said the other night.
Soft. One guy played, the goalie. He's the only guy that played. There are certain people that they don't have a clue how to play. Or just don't have it in them to play in these type of situations. And this is why I'm glad we're playing them. Because we have to figure things out as far as what we're going to become as a team here. That was embarrassing in the second period for the Philadelphia Flyer uniform, the way we played. Embarrassing. High marks as far as how we came back in the third. Some guys.
Soft.
Yeah. And it
soft.
Is.
Soft. And they were. They were soft. That was a game against the Islanders that they needed to win, that they could have won with a brand new goaltender who played very well, especially for playing his first game in the NHL. And they didn't run with it like they should have.
And this coming off of two losses to bad teams, 4-1 to Montreal, 5-1 to Chicago. So you would think that they would come out and not like redemption game, but you would think that they would do something. I'm with you. And, I'm warmed up to Torts for those that have heard me this season specifically. I was on him so much early on in this podcast, and I've kind of been warming up to him a bit, but he still slips up in my mind. But the pressure that guy is feeling, by the way, too, the Fedotov story, or however you say his last name.
It's Fedotov.
That's just crazy what happened, but he's a big boy. I hope he does
huge.
Well. Whenever it is this year, whatever it is, all
they're
that
already
stuff.
Talking extension right now, though. So I guess we're going to get to know him a little bit better. If everything works out the way that they anticipate, we're going to get to know him a little bit better next season as well with the Flyers.
So Philly, just quickly, Buffalo, Columbus, Montreal, the Rangers, the Devils, and the Capitals. They have them next all the way through till game 82 for them. Imagine it comes down to Washington and the Philadelphia Flyers, game 82.
The one thing in their favor right now that I perceive is they have a 3-day break in the middle of this week.
Right.
So they do actually have the opportunity to stew on Torts' latest words, sit back and go, okay, guys, do we really want this or not? Are we going to get back to playing the tough flyer hockey we played in January, or are we just going to give this away? So they do have time to think about it, which I think is going to help.
The Islanders are like the Capitals. They make no sense to me, and we bring this up every time we do this. It's the minus, plus, minus. Washington in the second spot with minus 35 and the Isles at minus 27. They're only 1 point back. It just doesn't make any sense to me that this team is still hanging on. But at the same time, it makes it fun, I guess, for Islanders fans and also for intrigue. And plus, we have more teams now to add every single time we do this to that Eastern Conference wildcard race.
It's just something that you didn't anticipate at all. I think we had both written them off a little bit last couple, 2-3 weeks, because they went on that little surge.
Yeah.
And then they didn't. And they fell apart a little bit. And you thought, okay, we're just looking at this race. Hey, Ryan, they played the Columbus Blue Jackets tomorrow night. They could be very conceivably in a wild card spot after that game against the Blue Jackets, depending on what, of course, Washington does and Detroit does. But they could be in a wild card spot. And again, if you had told me at this point, only a few weeks ago, that the Islanders were going to be in a wild card spot, April the 3rd, I would have had a hard time believing it. Obviously, I mean, this is why we watch sports, because we know nothing and it's always entertaining. And you get the unexpected around every corner, and that's the fun of it. But it just didn't seem to be trending in that direction either.
Yeah, it's I don't know. Every time I look at these standings, I think that Philly's going to drop, and I think the Isles are done. The Devils are done. Well, who knows? Maybe they'll come back. I don't know. Probably not. But the point is that they're pretty good, at least giving us something to talk about down the stretch. I still don't think that they'll make it in. I don't. I wrote them off, and I'll leave it at that. What about the Pens? Where are you standing on the Pens? Because they're still in this thing. They're fighting tooth and nail till the end.
They really are. And I mean, credit to their captain, I think, first and foremost. And we'll get to him as an individual in just 1 second. But if you're just looking at it now, the Penguins have 79 points. Washington Capitals have 82 points.
Yeah.
3 points. They play each other now. So that is going to determine a little bit. It's almost like you are coming down. They have 7 games left. But 7 games isn't 3. It isn't 2.
No.
You can still make a great deal of noise. You go 6-1 in 7 games. They're in a playoff spot, Ryan. It would be very difficult to see that not happening. Now you go 4-3? Probably not. 5-2? You don't know. But if they go 6-1, which, I mean, teams go. Look at what the Predators just did.
Yeah.
Anybody can go on a run. They still have Sidney Crosby. I don't think that they have the strength of squad to putting a lot of pressure on Nedeljkovic right now between the pipes, because he's holding down the fort completely by himself. But again, you get a hot goalie. We saw this last year with Vegas. We've seen it with other teams in the past. We saw it with Binnington with the Blues how many years, not that many years ago, right?
Yeah.
So you see this run. It's not, just 1 second. Can you imagine all the conversations we had this season that both the Capitals and the Penguins,
I'm thinking about that,
could be in the postseason. We wrote off Alex Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby as playoff players.
Yes.
Recently. And now they both could. I don't think they are. I think one might make it, and I'm going to favor the Capitals in that respect.
Yeah, me too.
Because of where they are in the standings. But just talk about the unexpected. It is so fun. And I don't mind being wrong about that. To have Crosby and Ovechkin in the postseason would be a heck of a lot of fun. And
it would
absolutely swallow being completely incorrect about that in recent days.
Caps, Tampa, Toronto, Detroit, Boston, Nashville, and the New York Islanders. That's what faces the Penguins this month. So that's not easy. I'll just leave it at that. But the fact that they're doing this and still in contention is mainly because of their captain. Two things, and I texted you this yesterday, I think. Sidney Crosby tying Wayne Gretzky, who I think we know a little bit about. Gretzky is the holder of, 800 records, I think. So he tied him with
take,
at least a point per game for a 19th season.
Yeah.
Two things with that. Number one was, wow, a point per game for 19 seasons, and you tie Gretzky. The second thing is, Sidney Crosby's been in the NHL for 19 seasons. He was drafted in 2000. Where the heck is the time gone? I don't think I'm old, but I feel really old right now.
I remember covering his debut season.
Yeah.
And we were all expecting it not to be nearly as fantastical as it ended up. I remember that. We're like, this is a lousy Penguins team, man, and they're going to be a little bit better now. And then now we're looking back. Cups, all the success he's enjoyed. I mean, what he's also enjoyed on the international stage, representing Canada on several occasions, several history-making momentous occasions. If you think about the gold medal winning games and the rest of it, it's and we're talking like he's retiring at the end of the season. This guy has like 3 or 4 years left.
Oh, at least.
No problem.
At least. The numbers that he's putting up are incredible. And I thought his quote too after when he was asked about it, his phone blew up with texts, congratulations, all that. And one of them was from Gretzky. He sent him a note. And one of the questions, but are you going to text your parents back or Gretzky back first? And he's like, well, whoever texted me first, I'll probably text them back first. But by the way, Gretzky, in his 20th season, 98-99, he had 62 points in 70 games. So that ended. So if Sid, when he does come back and play next season, which he will, man, if he gets another point per game, he'll have that record all to himself. If you were a team in the Eastern Conference and you had to face the Rangers or the Carolina Hurricanes, who would you want to face and who would you think you would have a better chance of beating?
Neither. I don't want to play.
Okay, next just... question. So Austin Matthews. Okay. That's
I don't. Right now, they're the two scariest teams. And I say right this very second, I've been on the Panthers bagwagon all season long. They are wobbling a little bit right now. That's why I say right now, I might change my mind a couple of weeks and say the Panthers are back to the doing what the Panthers have done for most of the campaign. But right now, it's Rangers, Canes. They're a top 1-2 in the East for me.
Yep.
They both have it all. They have good defense. They have players up front that could score. They have excellent net minding. I mean, you've got Shesterkin in New York, and then now you have a two-headed monster in Carolina, one of which is Frederik Andersen, who has not lost a game since he's come back.
And that's so good from what he's come back from.
It's an amazing story. Yeah. But you can't fault the opposition, the Lightning, the Leafs, the Panthers for sitting there going, darn it. Right. And we're glad he's healthy and all, but does he have to be spectacular again or could he just be, you know, fumbling a little bit? I don't want to play the Canes right now.
No,
they
me
don't
neither.
Know how to lose.
And I'll tell you something too, and this is before they were playing a bit better than the Rangers, but both teams, they're 8-1-1. The Canes are in 10, 7-3. The Rangers are in their last 10. Something I'm not comfortable. I'm not confident with New York. I'm not. And I know I'm in the minority with that. Totally get it. But I just think the Canes, even a month ago, I would not have wanted to face them. Even say 2 weeks from now, if the Rangers put up another, I don't know, they have what, 7 games to go, say they put up 12 points. I'd still think I'd not want to face the Carolina Hurricanes.
What's the weakness in New York to you?
I don't know if there is, but there's just some, I have no legitimate reason to make someone believe in or try to come. I just don't. It's just a feeling.
Gut feeling.
Think for whatever reason, Carolina would be just a more solid and in control team to face than the Rangers. I don't know. They're both great. But as you said, it may flip-flop. We may take the Rangers next week. Who knows? Austin Matthews. He now has 62 goals. It was so good to see him get his 60th. And the relief, I mean, the guy doesn't show a ton of emotion, but he was really happy, and he should have been happy. He was willing that goal to go in on that shift against the Sabres. By the way, it seemed like he was in Toronto because there was all these Toronto fans, but at the same time, let me change that. Toronto fans are awful, I think, to be honest with you, and they're so quiet, so maybe that wasn't like it was in Toronto. Anyway, Leafs-Panthers, playoff preview maybe too. Start with Matthews, 62. Where do you think he's going to end up? How many goals? 70, that's a real stretch to me, but
I
you never know. He needs
70 earlier.
Yeah, one game with a hat trick could change that. He'll get to 65.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. If he scores 3 the next game, and then all of a sudden now we're talking 65, and he
has 8 games to go.
Right?
Yep.
And it's not like he hasn't scored hat tricks.
Nope.
He has, and there have been other opportunities. What I don't want him to score 69 because then we're going to just talk about how he didn't make 70.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And yes, we'll leave the rest of that alone. But if it's to me, it's 68 or bust. All right?
Really? Yeah. Yeah. And
I think it's going to be about 66 or 67.
I was calling 65 at least. I said 65 at least. So,
well, he's going to get 3 more. I don't think there's any reason we wouldn't.
Yeah, so
think
that's
that
why I said at least.
Three
yeah.
More.
So if you get to 65, say he's got 4 games to go, then you pot 2 one game, you get 1 the next, then you get 2. It's possible. It's absolutely possible.
Now, the fun thing is, every time he scores one now, it's a record. right? Yeah. And it's kind of neat in that respect that when he scored 61, okay, that's a record. And now it's 62. Well, that's a franchise record for him and all the rest of it. So whatever it is, it's I know it's gravy at this point, but he celebrates with a little bit more oomph. And I also notice his teammates are enjoying 61 and 62, maybe more so than they enjoyed 42 or 43, just because every single time he's just putting another notch in the record books. And again, just like the scoring race we were just talking about, it's a fun story to watch. I do hope he makes it interesting. I do want a game. I mean, this is a huge ask, but in the next week or so, I want to see a hat trick just so we start talking about the math again. And can he? Because he can. He can. Absolutely can. Yeah, so he can. It'll be interesting.
He's done it before. That Florida-Toronto game was, if it is a preview of what's to come, I think that's going to be a great series. The Maple Leafs, by the way, they can clinch a playoff spot with 1 point against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they play them tonight. The Panthers are already in. Last one in the East, and then we'll skip to the West. That was odd in Montreal last night when the ref said, that was a goal. Brendan Gallagher scored against the Florida Panthers, and then next thing you know, he comes back to say there was a little bit of a miscommunication that was not a goal. I've never seen that.
It was a unique situation in that in the first case, it was not called a goal, and Montreal challenged it. Then they went to Toronto and said, it is a goal, and everybody's happy in Montreal, cheering loudly, this is wonderful. And then they got to come out and say, we didn't communicate well. You're not going to pile on it too much because stuff happens. Yeah. And this is a case, obviously, of stuff happening. You've got to be a little bit better in terms of communicating. Of course, you can't get this wrong. It reminds me, I mean, not anywhere near on the same scale, but when you give out the wrong envelope at the Oscars, you don't get to do that. You just don't. You have to communicate properly. It is, it isn't. So there obviously was some miscommunication. There was a mistake made in terms of speaking to one another. That's fine. My first intuition was, thank goodness this isn't a playoff game. Thank goodness wasn't a deciding goal. Montreal ended up winning the game anyway, so it actually did not matter. But so, make sure this doesn't happen in the postseason.
If it was, there could be things thrown on the ice, right? And I did feel for the refs because every time there was a penalty called or if there was an icing or something, you'd hear the boos, and I totally get it. Human error. It happens, but it's just hard when it happens and everyone's focused in on you at center ice when you come out twice and you first say, yep, and they say, oh, sorry about that, not happening. I thought Martin St. Louis' reaction too after the goal was called legit. They looked over and he shook the hand. The coaches and him were shaking hands and said, whoa, I think we got away with one. That's pretty good. Yay. And then whatever. Anyway, it is what it is. Last one, Jeff Skinner. 1,000 games. Talked about Crosby with his 19th season in the books almost. 1,000 games for Jeff Skinner. Where's the time gone?
I remember him entering the league as well because his skating was considered a notch above everyone else's because he started his career. He started out as a kid as a figure skater, which is an unusual route for so many players. Usually you just get dumped in hockey if you're going to go the hockey route, but not. He started out as a figure skater and he always talked about how much that helped him become a better player through junior and in the early stages of the NHL before the skating really, he was noticeable more when he first started, right? Than now, but congratulations, 1,000 games. I love the fact his teammates all pitched in and brought out a Sea-Doo, a jet ski.
Yep. Amazing.
He's already getting on and he's checking it all out.
Oh, yeah.
It's just because it's usually like the watches and it's jewelry and
a
it's
stick
different
or something. Yeah.
Plaques, you know. But to actually get a toy like that you know he's going to enjoy, you know, and the Sabres are making the playoffs, so he can start enjoying it soon. So that it was more fun to me to watch that type of presentation than what we're usually subjected to.
He is the one and the only player in the history of the NHL to have reached 1,000 games and never played in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
He used to be Bomeister, remember? Remember when it was him for years and years and years?
Yeah, and it's one of those things, whatever it is, but that's just too bad. Traded to Buffalo in 2018.
And it should have happened with Buffalo this year.
I know.
It should have.
I know. But Buffalo they start well, then they falter, and then they falter, and then they end well. How about you just try to be more consistent? Anyway, good on you, Jeff. We're happy for you. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll go west. Dallas, Vegas, the Jets, Edmonton, a whole bunch more. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Maddie, presented by DamonBarber.ca.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash, presented by Damon Barber Canada. Go to damonbarber.ca, log on, and enter the code PUCKSIN7, the number, not written out, and get a 25% off all their fantastic products, from hair to shaving to skincare, a whole bunch of different things as we go to work. So if you're growing a beard for your team, who you believe is going to go a long way in the postseason, this is the website to go to make it look good, like your team, hopefully. We'll see. DamonBarber.ca. We went east. We're going to go west now. Talk Edmonton, St. Louis, Minnesota. Yes, San Jose. Absolutely no bite. What about Dallas? They have a ton of bite. Seven straight games. They're on a tear, Vic. They're on a tear. And kind of what we talked about, too, in the east, would we be more concerned or easier facing the Rangers or the Carolina Hurricanes? What about Dallas or Colorado? And Colorado, they said something the other day when it was, well, you know, we know Dallas is doing whatever, that's fine. We're not going to sweat it, and we're going to just do whatever we need to do. It's not a big deal. But at the same time, you get this momentum. Watch out.
I mean, we all succumb to recency bias.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, that is obviously a case now, the same way that we were talking about the Hurricanes in the first segment.
Yeah.
Right now, the Dallas Stars are the best team in the West right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they will be again in a week, but mm-hmm. they're 8-2 in their last 10. Mm-hmm. They now show, and Colorado isn't, Colorado to me is right there, but the Jets aren't. Edmonton isn't to me. Vancouver nope. definitely isn't.
Nope.
To me, it's not only in the standings. They do have the most points. They mm-hmm. are top of the Western Conference, mm-hmm. but it's also watching the way that they're playing right now. They're yeah. getting the goaltending from Ottinger that we had anticipated and expected and wanted all season long. He's starting to look himself. I know some people are still concerned. If you talk to Dallas Stars fans, they still don't feel placated by it yet. There's still yeah. worries that their number one isn't going to be as good, but he's good enough. Their defense is playing excellent. That third line, and I'm making quotes because I don't know how you can call them a third line right now,
yeah.
of Stankoven and Jamie Benn and Wyatt Johnson has been absolutely good. Outstanding.
yeah.
Every time I check my fantasy standings and I see that they're not overwhelmingly rostered, like right across the fantasy board, I have to write little yelly columns to people yep. to like make yep. sure that, why isn't Wyatt Johnson in your line? Like, you got to yep. get him in your lineup,
What's
man.
Wrong
You're
with you people?
Yourself. Jamie yeah. Benn looks like Jamie Benn of 7 years ago.
He does. He does.
So, and then we're not even talking about their
top skaters.
And
maybe that's in part because he's playing with these young guys. Think about it. They inject youth into him. They really do. And I know he's kind of been maybe a mentor to both of them, etc. He's been around the league a long time. But I would probably feel a bit better, too, playing with these guys. Tyler Seguin, Matt Duchene, Mason Marchman, that line's been great. They put up 29 goals in a four-game road trip, and they allowed only 11. Matt Duchene has 62 points. That's phenomenal. You mentioned Johnson. He is 21 goal away from 30 in his second NHL season. And Jake Ottinger, been a bit better, allowed two or less than five straight. They have a ton of depth as well. Seven players with at least 20 goals. No other team is more than five.
No, I was looking at that the other day.
Interesting.
And you're going to get that depth of scoring and you're yep. heading into the postseason and yep. you're healthy. Listen, we just talked about them and sang their praises and didn't even mention the top line.
I know.
Of Pavelski, Robertson, and Hintz. Because
yeah.
they're still performing well. I mean, they're not the outstanding top line compared to the rest of the lineup as they have been in the past. And that is a very, very good thing. You got Thomas Harley on the blue line, who is impressing the heck out of everybody. Right now, top to bottom, this is the best team in the West. If they can stay healthy, look out.
Right now, I believe, if my math is correct, if the season ended now, Dallas would take on the LA Kings in the first round because Dallas is the most points.
Boy.
Yeah, Dallas is the most points in the Western Conference. I'm with you with Vancouver. You mentioned it just a little bit. I'm not sold whatsoever on this team. I have not been for a very long time. I don't know why. I just am not. Anyway. Vegas, are we starting to
yes.
believe again that this
yes,
team is going to be there in the end? Yes, we are. Okay,
yes,
let's move
are.
On. I love when Vic answers so quickly. Yep, yes, no, good.
Off we go. Moving.
You just got to keep it simple.
On.
And Tomas Hertl as well, right? Coming back.
Well,
so.
Okay, we're not even going to get to that part first.
Yeah.
But first of all, their defense is healthy again. Pietrangelo is no longer sick. Everybody, Alec Martinez is back in the lineup. So now this looks like that core that just hoisted a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Plus, they have Noah Hanifin, which is a nice little bonus to have if you're heading into the postseason. Mm-hmm. Now they're winning games again very, very regularly. Jonathan Marchessault looks like a superstar again. Everybody up front is doing their job once more. And Ryan, they're doing it without their best two-way forward in Mark Stone. Yeah. If they can win games without him and they can get him back in the postseason healthy again, which, and we've seen that story play out before. Yeah. And now we're hearing that Tomas Hertl is skating. Now, they can't realistically bring him back before the postseason. They could if they send Yuri Patera down, but there's a whole bunch of different things have to happen to bring him off LTIR. But the fact is, and I think they could, jam him in the last couple of games before the postseason.
They could.
You'd have to move some things around. Aiden Hill would have to be healthy again. That's the big one there. But it's, and then you get this huge bonus in terms of an excellent player that you brought in for very little at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And you're going to have Mark Stone back. Again, we're just singing the praises of the stars, and I'm not recanting any of that. But look out for Vegas if they stay healthy. And that's a big, big if, especially they need Mark Stone back. They're not going to win in the postseason without him. Not long term. Series, sure. Mm-hmm. But 2, 3, 4, no.
Jack Eichel and Bobby McMahon. McMahon's his long lost brother.
Are you talking about appearances? Or?
Oh my gosh. Have you looked at it? Have you looked at them together?
I've got to take a closer look.
Please make sure you do, because when I see McMahon, if he's on the bench or something, especially on the bench, when, you know, it's just, it's uncanny. Anyway, look, when did Jack Eichel get to Toronto?
Minor discrepancy in salary between those two, though.
Last time I checked, a small. Yeah. McMahon's involved. Anyway, huge Eichel fan I am. For Hurdle, you mentioned that. Hasn't played since January 27th, so he wanted to get the surgery done on February 12th, which is good. And then March 11th, he said he was hoping to be back on the ice in 2 weeks, so we shall see. And I've said this, I think I said this to you last time as well when we did this. They're still the defending Stanley Cup champions, so no team's won the cup since then. So as long as they still have that cup, you can't count them out. Winnipeg Jets, I have absolutely no confidence in them whatsoever. And remember that huge run that they were on where I think they were allowing less than 2 goals, less than 3. Hellebuyck was great. Defensively, they're fantastic. And they're a good defensive team. Totally get it. But to counterpoint, if I had this discussion with somebody else, who would say, hold on a second. I think there is confidence in Winnipeg, and you should be confident with them because goaltending wins you championships and defense wins you championships. That's fine. Yeah. And I can understand that. But I just think Winnipeg, to be honest, has relied too much too long on this. And out of all the teams in that Western Conference, the Winnipeg Jets are the team that scares me the least. And I'm even talking about the two teams in the respective wildcard spots at the moment.
Really?
Yep.
You are more fearful of the Canucks right now than you are of the Jets.
Yep. And that's saying something because Vancouver does not scare me very much. But the way Winnipeg, they don't put fear into me whatsoever.
The problem is when you do play such staunch defense and you do have the best goaltender on the planet and you do ride that out for too long, it's never going to last forever. And when it stops, I'm basically mimicking what you just said.
Right.
But when it doesn't, when it stops lasting, you do need your scorers to score. And right now, you know who isn't scoring? Kyle Connor. Kyle Connor hasn't had a goal in almost 3 weeks. So when your top scorer, and that, I'm sorry, that offense runs through him. As great as Mark Scheifele can be at times.
Oh, I know it does.
And those other players, you need him. And if he's not scoring, you're not going to win games.
Yeah.
Now, Kyle Connor is a natural scorer, so I think he's going to get back to it. Once he gets back to it, let's see how things then move forward for the Jets. But right now, they just can't count on Hellebuyck to be outstanding every night. That's unfair. It's also unrealistic. And their defense hasn't looked. Their defense has been sloppier, Ryan. I've been watching them, and when I'm watching them, they haven't looked the same as when they were on that very staunch run of being very stingy against other teams.
And there is nothing wrong with giving up very few goals, because that's a really important thing last time I checked in the NHL. But it's also important to score. Last time I checked, that was a big thing too. The discrepancy between the amount of goals the Jets have scored, just take the three teams in the Central. The Jets have scored 228, and they've given up 187. 187 is phenomenal. But the Avalanche, they've scored 52 more at 280. The Dallas Stars have scored, I'm doing the quick math, 48 more, something like that. So I'm just, defense, yes, I get it, but it's just the whole lack of offense thing, Vic, just worries me when it comes to the Winnipeg Jets.
Especially when you're giving up 3 goals to Ottawa, and then you're giving up 4 to Edmonton, and then you're giving up 5 to the New York Islanders.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't survive. No, I still think that there are... I'm not writing them off. Let me put it that way. Depending on what the matchup is, but they are running out of calendar to turn this around. And if I was a Jets fan, I would be start to become quite concerned.
Right now, they'd open up the first round series in Colorado.
Yeah, and Colorado's going to win that one right now.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying it's going to be done in 4, but Colorado should emerge on top. No. That's a Colorado in 6 to me.
Yeah, and I can guarantee it won't be done in 3. That's a guarantee that I'll stick with. Right?
I'm taking that one to the bank.
Yeah, I mean, people, look, a 7-game series will not be done in 3. You can use that free of charge to give you freebie.
Thank you.
Can Edmonton track down Vancouver? Remember when the Oilers were not very good and they were outside of the playoff picture, and then all of a sudden they moved into the wild card spot, and then all of a sudden they were challenging the Kings for 3rd, and then all of a sudden they're challenging Vegas. Now they're in 2nd. They're 5 points. They have 2 games in hand. So 4 extra points on the Vancouver Canucks. Can they do it? I'm going to say yes, they can.
Oh, the way that the Canucks have been playing of late, big time. And I'm not blaming this all on Casey DeSmith, because that is not fair.
It's not
fair. I am laying it on the team that is now playing in front of Casey DeSmith. That's, they appear completely unmoored without Thatcher, Demko, and Net. Is that fair? Nope. Is that human nature? Sometimes. So when they know that they don't have that guy back there and they have it, it's in their head. They're playing completely differently. And you're listening to Rick talk it again on a nightly basis. And he's not John Tortorella, but the frustration, and he's a little bit more of a cool, calm, collected guy, but the frustration is rising over and over and over and over again. I think they just lost. It's not in front of me. 3 straight. They've just lost, and not
Vancouver?
Against Vancouver. Yeah.
They've lost 5 wins in the last 10.
I mean, that's not good enough for a team that wants to finish top of their division.
No,
and Edmonton is now 6-2-2 in their last 10. That is in front of me. And they definitely, if Oilers are healthy, Skinner feels fantastic.
Yep.
He was talking the other day. He has never been more comfortable in net in his entire life.
Yep.
And you've got Leon Draisaitl and the aforementioned Connor McDavid, who's chasing down a scoring title. You have all of that happening at the same time. Absolutely. The Oilers can catch the Canucks. And that is going to knock the wind out of the sails of Vancouver.
Yeah.
It's going to knock them right down.
Yeah, it will. When Demko did start with that injury, that was when my real concern started with Vancouver.
You said so. You said so at the time. I was wrong. I thought they were going to be better in front of DeSmith. Yeah. I thought that they were still going to be a solid hockey team in front of them, and they weren't. And I was wrong about that.
Dallas, Edmonton has Dallas tonight, which is going to be a
banger.
As you say, a banger of a game. See, even as she was coming out and saying, I read her mind. And then they have Colorado on Friday, so that's intense. They have Vancouver following Saturday, the 13th, and then they end with 2 games, one against Arizona and one against the Colorado Avalanche, the Edmonton Oilers too. So I think they can do it. What about St. Louis? Some teams in the East we talked about, the Islanders and the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Wings, Flyers, Capitals, etc. We've looked at the Blues. We were looking at the Wild. We'll talk about the Wild in a second. Does St. Louis still have a chance here?
This is completely unfair because there are only 3 points.
So why did you put it in the lineup then?
No. What I'm about to, I'm preceding what I'm going to say.
I know, I'm kidding. I'm just having some fun.
This is, what I'm about to say is completely unfair. Because the Blues are only 3 points out of a playoff spot.
Yeah.
And we were just discussing a gaggle of teams in the Eastern Conference who are 3 or more.
Let me just gaggle. Let me just
a gaggle.
Gaggle. Okay,
a
carry on.
A gaggle of teams.
Got it.
It's a grouping. Usually applies to geese. Can also apply to hockey teams in the NHL. and I'm giving teams in the East a stronger shot. And I don't think it is fair because the Blues have played really well of late.
I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah.
They're 7-2-1 in their last 10. Binnington has been good. They've done just enough to win hockey games. I also watched them play. Like you are with the Rangers, there's just, my tummy tells me they don't have it. And then you're also counting on, you're basically counting on the Los Angeles Kings right now to tumble.
Yes.
Because I don't think we're looking at the Predators to do it. I know they're in a little bit of a slump, but they're going to pull out of it. And the Knights, again, are playing really well. So we're basically looking at the Kings to completely fall apart. And I don't think that's going to happen either. So between those two factors, I don't quite believe in the Blues. Good for them for making a show of it and giving it a go, because I didn't think they had it in them to even have a run here. And they definitely have. You know, I've been on the Wild instead all season long.
I know.
The Wild
know.
Aren't in that position. If the Wild were in that position, Ryan, in that exact same position as the Blues, I would say they have a shot because they're the better hockey team. But
yeah.
The Blues are not. They're just not. They need more pieces. They don't have it. There's only so much you can expect from the characters on that team, whether you're getting good goaltending or not. So, no. I think what we're looking at in the West right now, the eight, I think that's the eight. I don't know where they are.
I do too. I agree.
But I
agree.
Think that's the eight.
Yeah, and I've thought it's been the eight for a little bit. I mean, not months, but certainly a number of days, maybe even a week or two. If there's any silver lining in this for St. Louis, and I know I've talked a lot about teams fighting for spots with the remaining schedule, but I think it's important because I know you were talking about the whole matchup thing, the one-on-one, anything can happen. Columbus can beat anybody. Chicago can, all that stuff. But they have some games coming up at least in the next week and change. San Jose, Anaheim, and they also have Chicago. So those are three in a row starting this Saturday. So I'm just saying.
But you know Chicago's going to beat them. You know it. You know Connor Bedard is going to come out and have a four-point game.
A show.
And they're going to beat the Blues because the Blues aren't going to ready themselves. I actually like that team better against tougher competition because they seem to ready themselves and prepare themselves better for it. I'm going to tell you right now, the Chicago Blackhawks are going to beat the Blues. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Because that's just such a Blues game to lose.
You're a poet. You don't even know it. So
one of my father's favorite expressions.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh. That and you got it, Pontiac. I lived
you,
with you.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. We're dating ourselves right now. Yeah. Let's just stop while we're ahead.
No, my father said it, not me.
I know. It's just like kind of that's what I heard from my dad a couple of times as well. I'm like, Pontiac, what are you talking about? Why can't it be a different car manufacturer? Anyway, you want to talk about the Wild? Lead into that with the bad gamble?
Listen, yes, I do want to talk about this. And yes, hindsight is 20/20.
Mm-hmm.
If it had worked again, we'd all be praising the move.
Mm-hmm.
This is my thing. When you pull, so what happened? We should summarize for people who don't know what we're talking about.
That's why I led you into this, because I just, go ahead.
I'll give the summary. So for the second time in a matter of a very short period of time, they went to overtime, pulled the goaltender in overtime to have the extra skater. So you're at risk. If you get scored upon, you don't even get the single loser point, which this time of year is more important than ever. I know they all count the same, but it doesn't matter. It's perception.
Yeah.
It feels more important this time of year. And they tried this earlier and it worked out and everybody went, that's amazing. Holy Henrietta. What a gutsy move. This is great. Fantastic. And they tried it a second time and it didn't work. So guess what? They didn't get the loser point. And then to top it all off, some very sour icing on a very bitter cake. Ryan Hartman threw his stick, and this has been one of their better players, especially in the last 2-3 weeks. Ryan Hartman is all over the map, and I have many opinions on how that guy plays the game. Well, I mean, he has all the suspensions
for
it. But when he's on, he's another Tom Wilson without doing the nonsense. But what he did is he threw his stick in the middle of the ice. The officials claim that he threw it towards them and opposing players, and now he's suspended for 3 games. So here at the most important time of the season, after you just blew an opportunity to escape with a single point, at least, because he tried something twice in a row, and the second time the gamble didn't pay off.
Yep.
You lost the point you were supposed to have. You lost one of your top 6 forwards who's been scoring of late because he made a dumb move. Was it malicious? Did he really throw a stick at people? He didn't. I watched the video a bunch of times, but it doesn't matter. The rule is you can't throw your stick onto the ice. You can't throw it in the direction of anybody.
No.
And the fact that he's a repeat offender and this is his 8 million suspension. if somebody else, that's a game. You get a game.
Yeah,
he got 3 because of his history. I think that's deserved as well. So it's very disappointing for somebody who's sitting in a chair who was rooted, even though they're not my team, by any extent.
Right.
I've rooted for this team for years, really, because I've always liked their makeup.
Yep.
I've liked what's going on there. And for them to, they weren't going to make the postseason anyway, Ryan, but for them to slam the door even earlier than necessary because of undisciplined play and what I think is a bad coaching decision, it's just disappointing.
And the whole thing was Noah Hanifin was not penalized for that high stick. And the replays did show he got Hartman in the eye.
Too bad.
I know. I'm just putting context to why he may have lost his mind a bit.
I don't blame him for being frustrated. I know,
yeah, and they would have had a power play for the final 37 seconds. But and this to your point, too, about the three-game suspension. It was his third in 13 and a half months, so third suspension. So talk about a repeat offender. Sometimes you get repeat offenders, you know, one or two or three every 3-4 years, but this one's a year and a month and change.
To his credit, he did say he screwed up and it was stupid. So
yes,
I'll give him that.
That's
something. But he put his team in a lousy spot when they still, and hey, they're not mathematically out of it. They're still playing to win. They're still playing to chase down the Blues and the Kings and whoever else, right? It's such a hard knock.
It's too much. There's too many, too much in front of them. By the way, he's been a fine 7 times in 10 years too. So not just with the suspensions, but he's had...
Real Boy Scout, that guy.
He's had 7... Hi, this is my friend Ryan Hartman. Anyway, what are we going to end with? Oh, great. Well, so plus minus. What's the latest in the plus minus, Vic? Okay, here's a way from the plus minus. Plus minus is one of the categories in hockey that you really don't want to be leading in, right? A ton of categories, you do goals for, goals against, all this great stuff. But the plus minus, you don't want to be leading in this when you're negative. 133.
Yes, we should specify that. You want to be leading in it. No, I know. Otherwise, I know. Definitely want to be a plus 56 like the Carolina Hurricanes.
133 in the negative column. Wow. Come on.
Anybody who manages, any team, I should say, who manages to eclipse minus 82 at the end of the season, so as in you've given up one more goal per game. That's pretty special to me. Right. And I mean special using my air quotes once more. That is special. I was watching the other night too. Michael Granlund, God bless him. He's still trying so hard. And he's scoring. He's scoring. Mikhail Granlund, I should say. I know some people call him Michael, but it is Mikhail. Mikhail Granlund, he's still trying.
I'll take the Michael angle.
He's still doing his best. But if you actually look at that lineup, and please keep in mind, I have covered the NHL in different capacities. I'm going on 2 decades.
So yeah.
I don't know half of that team right now. I'm exaggerating I'm taking some poetic license here, but you know what I mean? There's people I'm like, who?
Yeah, no, it's true. And we've been saying that for a long time. Yeah.
So,
to put it into context, last season, Anaheim led the league in the worst category, in the negative 129. And last year, San Jose was minus 87. And now they're minus 133, and they have 8 more games left to go.
They're
the lowest scoring team in the league, only 1 goal behind Chicago. They have 165, so that's another race that they're trying to, I don't know.
They've won 17 games all season, lottery. And I think it's like they've won 4 since mid-January.
I don't even want to look at
why it. Why you would go and watch this team play, and I know people aren't, because I can see the numbers for bums and seats. But it's just, it's tough to be a Sharks fan right now. You want to hear something from the organization soon.
Yeah, you do.
About a plan.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, if they get the draft pick, the top draft pick, that's something to look forward to. And I think they have a pretty decent shot at it. 17 wins. So I want to hear what a plan is right now and what they're going to do moving forward, because they moved out so many players this year. Yeah. They're starting from scratch, Ryan, and there's absolutely burning it down to the ground and starting from a hole. And that's where they seem to be right now.
Just to one of the, as we end one of these draft lottery simulator things, at least at this point, when we do this, 3-1. So Anaheim with 11.5% of the first pick, odds for the first pick, Chicago 13.5. And then you have San Jose leading at 18.5% chance. Number 1 overall at 25.5.
Hope Celebrini likes the West Coast.
Anyway, it's okay. Gotta take baby steps. That's what they need to take, huge steps soon. We're out of time. Been a lot of fun again. We are getting closer and closer and closer to game 82 for all these teams. The playoff races are intense. The scoring races are amazing. Great storylines. And we'll be back in a bit just to do another Pucks and 7 as we head toward the end of the regular season. Once again, Pucks and 7 brought to you by DamonBarber.ca. Log on to DamonBarber.ca and get 25% off all the great products. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan and Peyton, at Victoria Matyash. Also on Instagram at PatesRP, at Matyash Victoria. And catch us wherever you get your podcast, also on the SiriusXM app. Talk to you again.
Pucks and 7 brought to you by
DamonBarber.ca. Available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.